Today on Real Radio.
And did you know, today you're so funny. You've been lied to by Satan and you swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. You think you're winning by grinding your teeth and folding your arms and saying, yeah, well, you know what? I'll never forgive that person. And you're killing yourself. The ability to forgive, God gives you so that you can be free, not the person that hurt you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're spending a bunch of time in chapter 13 as Pastor Jack delivers a collection of studies called Finding the Love of Your Life. This four-part mini-series taken from the Love chapter is pretty much an exploration into perfect love, or godly love, if you will. And one particular takeaway from these lessons is that the love that comes from our Creator is perfect and, get this word now, unchanging. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series called Finding the Love of Your Life.
If you're not getting a Sabbath time to be recuperated with the Lord, you're going to be grumpy. And how would you like to have your surgeon that's about ready to cut your brain out, you know? You better be praying for your doctor that he's right now sailing down Newport Beach somewhere, having a great day. You don't want your doctor cutting on your head at the end of his 9-week run. Why? Because you make mistakes. And it's like, come on, oh man, what? How many surgeries today? Three of them! And, Jack's my last one. He's at 4:00. Oh gosh. Oh man, we'll just, just get him in, cut him open, put that thing in there, put some more marbles in there and sew them up. And yet we can live our lives like that as Christians. Turn to the kids, what do you want again? Did I just feed you? What's your trip? Hey, everybody backs up. What's the deal? It's an international announcement. Haven't been with Jesus for a while. That's what it means. Not loving right now, not loving. I need to know the love of God before I can give the love of God out. And you've got to take a break. A lot of people wound too tight these days. And we can all have the excuses. Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I already know what. We fail because we're not with him. Alan Redpath, the great author, writes this. There is perhaps nothing more disruptive and upsetting in a home than a bad disposition. The man or woman who is bitter and irritable is a foul presence in an otherwise comfortable setting. These are the people who seem to enjoy seeing others disrupted and made to hurt. They are thin-skinned people who erupt into a volcanic spewing of harmful words fueled by a wicked heart. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of a good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are we not convicted? Very, very seriously. Next consideration is this. By his consistency, he looks upon me. So what do you mean by that? By his consistency, he looks upon me. We see the words here, love thinks no evil. This word, love thinks no evil, is love does not think of another person as worthless or depraved to injure them or to plot against them or to design evil against someone. Now listen, this love of God thinks, this is amazing. God's love, the word that God put in the Bible to describe his love. Are you guys listening? God's word given is a love that God loves you with, and it means this. He looks for the best in you before ever looking at anything else other than. You know how we use the word, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know that action? That's a little hint of the love that God has for us. God approaches you and I, so to speak, giving you the benefit of the doubt. He wants to, and he does, think good of you Listen, this is not some self-esteem message I'm giving you here right now. This is the nature of God. You see, what happens when a sinner approaches God? A hellion. What happens when a hellion approaches God? God looks at that person. He knows everything about their sin. He's not discounting their sin. He's looking through the veil and through the fleshly folds of your life, and he sees the person down deep inside of you. He sees all the things that frustrate you, all the reasons why. He knows all of that stuff, and he loves you. When you and I look at people, we go, man, aren't they just a piece of work? I don't want to be around that person unless I have garlic tied around my neck and a cross with a stainless steel steak or something, you know. That person's a child of Satan. Did you know God looks behind all that stuff and he sees down deep inside as to why they are the way that they are? You and I look at the flesh and we look at their conduct and we have a tendency to judge them. God looks on the heart. And as a church, before we ever launch out into the gifts of the Spirit, wouldn't it be best, according to God, that we would look down by his amazing ability and look, it's not that you discern, well, I see what's in your heart. No, you don't. Nobody, we cannot see into someone's heart, but we can love them like Jesus loves them. And that is amazing to me. It's not of this world. He looks upon us. And what do you think this morning about that? How do you see God looking upon you? See him like this looking on you? How do you see him? Let me ask you something. How do you need to see him? Moses encountered that. You remember when Moses said to God in the burning bush, when I go back down to the children of Israel, who do I tell them sent me? And he says, tell them I am that I am. In Greek, it's the ego eimi of Jesus Christ. The one in the burning bush is the same one in John's Gospel chapter 8 that says, I am. I am the eternal one. What do you need? Do you need peace? I'm your peace. Do you need assurance? I'm your assurance. Do you need care? I'm your caregiver. Do you need protection? I'm your protector. That's what the I am means. I will become what you need, says God. And a person thinking halfway right understands, I need him. He looks upon us, an amazing characteristic of God. He knows everything about you and I, but he chooses by his divine nature to forgive and to forget when we come to him and ask for forgiveness. It's really an amazing thing. The danger of that, listen, I want you to see this in your mind's eye. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, we've all heard it. This verse haunts us at times. In Mark 11, 25, Jesus says, whenever you stand praying, so you're doing a religious thing, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now watch this. Leave it on the screen, guys. Let's take a look at this for a second. The person's doing a religious thing. Whenever you stand praying, because you're standing before God, you're being very soul sensitive. If you have anything against anyone, if you're upset with somebody, holding a grudge, angry, bitter, resentful, he says, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. See, oh, is this conditional? First of all, he's talking to a believer. He's talking to believers. This is very important. You can be a Christian today. You can be going to heaven. On your way. Praise the Lord. Name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. See this verse right here? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you also. It has nothing to do with you going to hell. It has all to do with God hearing your prayers and blessing your life in this world here and now. It's a warning to the Christian to not allow bitterness to take over their life. Criticalness. It's a very dangerous thing. Now listen, I want to tell you a little story about this verse. that comes to life. It's kind of interesting, too, because when I read this, I thought, oh, my goodness, I kind of grew up with this. My mom, at 4 years of age, had to move into a Catholic orphanage in Honolulu because her parents died, and she was raised there until my dad married her, honestly. So she had Catholicism, but it was on one of the Polynesian islands of Hawaii, of course. And the Polynesian islands of the South Pacific, there's over 1,000 gods that are worshipped on those islands, of all the thousands and thousands of islands throughout the South Pacific. And there's a Polynesian practice. Now, I don't know if it's true in Hawaii. I've never seen this. But it's true on many Polynesian islands. And you'll never look at a wind chime the same. It's an ancient custom that if somebody offended you or hurt you, you never wanted to forget that. Because if you forgot that they hurt you or harmed you, you could never do acts of revenge against them if you forget. So you get some twine or string or rope or seaweed or whatever, and you tie a shell onto it, and you hang it from a tree near your hut or off the eave or the post of your hut. And then when somebody offended you, guess what you did? You went and got another shell, and you tied it on there to remind you that this shell belongs to John, this shell belongs to Susie, and the first chance I get, I'm going to let them have it. And it was a reminder of all the wrongs that have been done against you. What a way to live. Can you imagine every day waking up, tropical breeze blowing, clang, 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 clang. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to hate those people. Isn't that amazing? And yet you and I, if we have a place in our heart, you know what? I'll never forgive Bill. You know what, boy? The first chance I see Susie, I'm going to let her have a piece of my mind. And you've got that wind chime hanging in your heart. And Satan sees to it that it's always added to and there's just enough wind blowing to remind you, and you get bitter and you're angry, and boy, I tell you, if I had a chance, I'd really, wow. Guess what? Just to make things even worse for you, Billy or Susie, they're out having a great time without you. You're the one that's being consumed by it. And did you know today, you're so funny, you've been lied to by Satan and you swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. You think you're winning by grinding your teeth and folding your arms and saying, yeah, well, you know what? I'll never forgive that person. And you're killing yourself. The ability to forgive, God gives you so that you can be free, not the person that hurt you. You've misread the whole thing. And you're grinding your teeth and you're angry and you've got wind chimes all around your hut. And a Christian can know the Lord and have those wind chimes hanging around their hut. And God says, listen, you're going to heaven. I love you, but you're ruining your life. And you'll never have joy. You'll never have peace. You know, the old Puritans used to say this, based on Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not, or be angry and do not sin. The old Puritans used to say this, be angry with nothing but sin. That's a great way to remember that verse. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. That means, listen, you're going to have anger. And by the way, there is a righteous anger and there's an unholy anger. But the verse means, in the sense of unholy anger, don't sin. Get it under control. And the old Puritans used to say, as I said a moment ago, be angry with nothing but sin. What a great practice. Some of us need to hear this. Don't be angry with that person anymore. Be angry at sin. And you'll go free. This is a powerful thing. Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says, speak evil of no one, but peaceably. Gentle, showing all humility to all men. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know the word seasoned with salt means? You know what that means? Let your words be seasoned with salt. That means when people hear you speak, if your speech is seasoned with salt, the way that you talk, the people get thirsty when they hear you talk. man, every time that person talks about God or talks about life, I get thirsty for what they have. Let your speech come out in such a way where people say, you know, I think I want to know your God. I think I want to hear more about this. We'll end here in a moment. I got to give you a huge warning. Just a couple weeks ago, and I knew this was kind of going on, a couple weeks ago, I heard someone say something about, it doesn't matter, it's not important to me, but I heard somebody say something about it. They were talking, and they said, oh man, did you know? Did you know that? No, I didn't know. Where'd you read that? Oh, it's on the web. And I heard that, and I thought, what just happened? That person was talking to that person and said something about someone, and it's on the web. This guy didn't know. This guy knew. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, who knows what? Who knows? Well, this guy knows. And what did you say to this guy? Oh, that Freddie is a freak. Freddie's a freak. How does this guy know Freddie's a freak? What does a freak mean? This guy who didn't know anything about Freddie now knows in his head, if he believes it or not, that Freddie is a what? It's in there, guys. It's in there forever. Someone put it there, right? Based on what? Even if it were true, did this guy need to know? This is sin in the first degree. Christians have fallen over this web. The internet has taken sin, in my opinion, and put steroids on it. You can say something about somebody, it doesn't have to be true, and now it's global in a minute. Right? And we're sinning. Somebody, and then on top of it, listen, the internet has become a platform for a lot of sick people who probably should be in hospitals. Or they're in the gall of bitterness, but they have a laptop. And they say something about you. They say something about you. They say something about you. And they should be in a straitjacket. And they're writing and writing in the name of ministry these days. So anyway, somebody asked me something. Hey, did you know about this? I didn't know. What? And the guy looked at me. This week, the guy looked at me. Don't you know? I go, well, first of all, why would I want to know this? And secondly, what can I do about it? And thirdly, is it true? And did you know that you and I live in a culture now where very few people shut that stuff off? Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, church, and maybe you say, well, that's because you're 53 years old, you're an old dude, and you're not. Hey, if this is growing up, then I don't want anything to do with it. Words about people, pictures of people, things of people out there forever. And Christians just go lollygagging down the path, very, very tireless about the things of the world. And the Bible says, love thinks no evil. The word thinks no evil is this, you guys. It means that it doesn't look at someone and hold them in contempt. When he looks upon me, when he looks upon you, God looks at us and he wants us to make it. We have this thing within us as humans that when we hear about the misfortune of someone, there's almost a little bit of a, well, he probably had it coming. You know how evil that is? When somebody gets blessed, oh, what? That's evil. He got the raise. Are you a Christian? Trust God. He loves us. Those things alone, you know, my own actions prove that there's a God. Because his awesome standard stands there in blazing glory, the opposite of me. And I have to just say, thou art God. I'm going to give you a closing verse, but I got to tell you, we sang a song today, and I grabbed it. I probably ruined one of the musicians songs because I grabbed this sheet. It says, here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never, listen, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Listen. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. That's him. Do you know him? Has he kissed you with his love? You say, well, Pastor, I'm so guilty. Yes, I understand. Join us. He's kissed you with his love. Isn't it beautiful? The book of Psalms calls Jesus the son of his love, and it says to kiss the son lest he be angry. He didn't say, obey the son lest he be angry. That was a little bit of Billy Graham right there, wasn't it? Obey the son unless you be angry. He said, no, obey the son because it's relationship. Don't disappoint him. He loves you. Bring him nothing but your sins, your worn, tattered life. Bring him, he wants nothing from you, but wants to give you love, forgiveness, and salvation through Jesus. He's kissed a guilty world with love. Last verse of the day. And you know, you knew this verse was coming. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, Yahweh. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That verse, Jeremiah 29:11, what kind of a person would say no to this?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Finding the love of your life is the title of today's lesson. In fact, finding the love of your life is actually a four-part series taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you are wondering, we do offer this series, Finding the Love of Your Life, on DVD. It's a four-part message series, might make a nice addition to your library. Now, in Finding the Love of Your Life, Pastor Jack helps us understand this quite familiar passage, 1 Corinthians 13. But this time, we take a good look at God's nature and how he loves. We see that he is altogether humble, consistent, pure, and faithful. That sounds like the right kind of love to me. No wonder it's been said finding him is to find the love of your life. Our offer for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD, Finding the Love of Your Life. In fact, we're already hearing from Real Radio listeners asking about it. Get yours as soon as you can. Let me say this again. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this series called Finding the Love of Your Life, a four-part DVD set. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. Just click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.